Hey everyone, welcome to the Contiki Podcast, the place to get double feature film recommendations from some of your favorite artists. I'm your host, Eric Mahoney, broadcasting to you from Brooklyn, New York. How's it going? You guys doing all right? It is wild out there. I'm encouraged, I will say, about the protests and the recent two Supreme Court rulings in regards to the LGBTQ and DACA rights. That is hopeful in a sea of really rough times. You know, some statues are coming down, and I do feel like finally some thinking and happening around some long-standing symbols and practices in this country that are steeped in racism are beginning to be addressed. So I do feel hopeful in the midst of this kind of surreal and turbulent time, the likes of which I have never personally experienced, and I'm sure most everyone on the planet has not either. But I do think that I am seeing some seeds for change and growth being planted, and you know, I gotta just look to that as instead of, you know, the bleak things that are going on out there. I gotta hope that we're gonna all collectively rally around this and make some change, you know. On a lighter note, I love discovering new and interesting artists that seem to be multi-talented and seek to do many creative endeavors. And my guest today is one of those people. Shamir is on the show today, and it's someone who wasn't on my radar until fairly recently. The more I dove in and listened to his output over the last few years, it became very evident that this is someone who likes to experiment and is drawn to both the audio and visual arts, which is really cool. We discuss a bit more about that in our conversation, but I am really grateful to have had the chance to catch up with him right after his latest single, which is called On My Own, was released about a week ago. So we talk about that, his double feature pairing, and also some ambitions to get behind the camera and delve into filmmaking, which I thought was interesting. So I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did, and if you weren't familiar with Shamir's music, go check it out. So yeah, let's head on over to my conversation with Shamir and get his picks for a double feature pairing.
Okay, great.
Great. I saw the posting for the Rolling Stone video. Congrats, that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that I'm really excited for it to be out, and people are kind of losing their minds because I know people have been waiting for a more commercial effort from me.
That's great. When does do you have a street date for the entire album?
Kind of this fall. Details are TBA right now because I completely self-releasing it, and I'm also self-managing right now. And I didn't think that. I mean, I knew people would be excited, but I didn't think it was going to be like this. So now I'm kind of like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into?
No, that's good. Those are good problems. Were you supposed to be touring or anything this spring? Has the whole kind of pandemic and everything affected any tour schedules, or were you kind of hunkered down and doing recording during that time anyway?
Kind of both. Like, I was revving up to start touring this year, and I had a date with Waxahachie that was supposed to be back in April, and then that got canceled. But that was really the only show to get me, you know, starting to rev up back into touring while during the in-between and meantime, you know, finishing up this record. So really, like, the quarantine kind of messed that up, but like not like whole touring plans for me, which is great. And then I just kind of just, you know, went full on with the record and just finishing that.
Cool. That's great. So how has this affected or not affected you so much? I mean, I've talked to a lot of artists on the show who aren't terribly affected, because a lot of times they sort of live, you know, like this anyway, when they're creating things. So what, What have you been up to the last couple of months, and what's the experience been like while the world has been kind of this very kind of surreal and ever-changing landscape?
I think that's the thing. Like, I think, again, it's kind of been both for me. Because much like the song, you know, literally called All My Own, it's like an introvert anthem. You know, I live on my own, literally by myself, like a 3-bedroom house. And normally I'm just like running around being creative and, you know, doing what I want anyway. So that didn't kind of like really change. But I guess the main thing is just kind of like I was really excited to start touring, because I always take like big breaks in between like big touring for myself. And like the last time I did like a bunch of big tours was back in 2018. Then I took 2019 to myself, and then I was really, really ready to start touring again this year. And then it's like, oh, I'm about to get a whole nother year break. So yeah, I'm kind of, for the first time, like actually ever, because, you know, a lot of musicians, you know, don't love, like, I love performing, but a lot of musicians don't love touring. But now I'm like itching to tour for the first time ever, because it's been 2 years.
Right. Yeah, no, I know that it's grueling, but that sort of exchange of energy that happens when you're in a room with a lot of people and performing is kind of a special thing. So I would assume that going without that for a prolonged period is kind of difficult.
Yeah, totally. Like, I guess it's mostly too just because, like, the last time I was touring, with musicians from 2 different parts of the country. My drummer was living in Portland, and my bassist was living in Vegas, who, you know, I'm originally from Vegas. She was the first bass player I ever played with. We had a band together when we were 16, because I just didn't have any musicians that I could play with in Philly. And then I finally found the drummer that I could play with in Philly, and I'm just like, yeah, things are great, like I'm gonna be able to do this. And then yeah, pandemic was like, nah, not just yet.
Totally. Well, thanks for taking time out to chat. This has been kind of a fun podcast for me to do, just to actually, you know, engage and talk to some people that I've either worked with in the past or are meeting for the first time, like yourself. So it's been cool to just kind of reach out and talk to people and talk about some films that they've been watching at home,
which I love, because like I love film and I definitely consider myself a cinephile. And I've always kind of like been into kind of like filmmaking myself. And this new video that I just released, actually, I did completely myself. And I really been getting back into cinematography and everything. So I'm really glad that I get to do this podcast.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's awesome. That's really, really cool. I didn't know that. Well, that's great. Let's dive in. So you do have a passion for the medium. So I liked your double feature. I watched one of them last night, and I had seen the other one a long time ago. But tell me, let's kick it off. Tell me what your double feature recommendation is, and then we'll get into the whys of that a little bit.
Yeah. So my double feature recommendation, in this order, would be Mistress America. And then right after that, June Bug. And the funny thing is, they're exactly 10 years apart, which is like really funny. And yeah, Mrs. America is just like a great, like Noah Baumbach, I think you pronounce his name, and Greta Gerwig, like, yes, they're married, right? And I like his films too, and also Greta's film, or partners. And yeah, I love their films. I love Greta, I love him. But this movie in particular, I really love, because I didn't go to college. My college was making my first record, Ratchet, which was in New York. And I moved from Vegas, where I had been my whole life, previously the whole 18 years, to Brooklyn. And I was living in a music venue, and I was just like, I was interning at Soho at the label that I was signed to, and then working on my record in between those times. So, and I, Greta Gerwig's character in that film, I met a lot of girls like her. And so it was, when I first saw it, it really kind of just like, I don't know, it was just like really kind of like cute and like reminiscent for me, especially, you know, in the protagonist of the movie, you know, she's just moving to college, she's going to Columbia, she's getting used to, you know, New York and everything. So yeah, it was just like, I really saw myself in it.
Hi, this is Tracy Fishko. I go to college in the city and my mom said I should call you. My mom is marrying your dad.
Do you want to hang out? Do you know where Times Square is?
Tracy!
Times Square is so crazy.
Isn't it?
I don't know anyone who lives here.
Yours truly. I got us the bus from Jersey. I thought this was the cool place to live. It's Times Square.
It's so stylish.
I know. I freelance as an interior decorator. You know the Bowery Hotel?
Oh my God, yeah.
Well, if you walk about a block south, there's a laser hair removal center that's very hip. I did the waiting room.
Yeah, that's so funny. My wife and I watched it last night, and we said the exact same thing. We've been in New York for, I think, about, how long have we been here? 16, 17 years, something like that. But we both looked at each other when, you know, when Greta Gerwig kind of appeared, and we were just both like, we know her. You know, it's just like the quintessential sort of lost, out there hustling, you know, has her fingers in like all different kinds of entrepreneurial, you know, things that may or may not be happening. Just very funny. just briefly too, if anyone hasn't seen it yet, it's a Noah Baumbach film, 2015. And, it's basically about a young woman who is going to Columbia for the first time, and she's connected with what will be her stepsister to be when her mom marries this woman's father. And Greta Gerwig is the sort of older person. I mean, not older, but older than the freshman in college who she's then connected with in New York, and is like kind of like the first person that she really knows that lives there. So they kind of set off on some adventures together. Well, that's interesting. So it's kind of meaningful. Did you ever see Frances Ha from a couple years earlier, like the same combo, Noah Baumbach, Greta Gerwig? Did you ever see that film?
So that's funny. You know what? I want to say either this year or the end of last year, saw Frances Ha for the first time ever. Because I was talking to a friend and was like, you know, I was just like mentioning like my top like 5 or 10 or like whatever. And I was like, yeah, Mrs. America is like definitely up there. And he's like, oh, you think you have to see like Frances Ha? And I was just like, yeah, I've seen that name floating around. I don't even know why it took me this long to watch it, but yeah, love it. Loved it.
Yeah, I like his work. I mean, I feel like I like both of their work in terms of Greta and Noah. I think they're really exceptional writers in particular. I really like the dialogue, and it kind of feels a bit like a play to me a lot, this film, you know, especially like the back, you know, 20% that's sort of set in a old friend of Greta Gerwig's, you know, a Connecticut home. It feels very much like a play to me. I really like that.
Yeah, you know what? That's so funny. I that's a good way to put it. I never really thought of it that way. To me, I kind of always felt like it was more of like a modernized version of kind of like older films, like maybe from like the 30s, 40s, 50s. But I also see the play thing too, as well.
Yeah, there's something about his writing in the rhythm of it, in the pacing, and then, you know, sort of everyone's this kind of falls into this ensemble sort of cast where they're just all floating in and out of the scene and kind of contributing to this like kind of free flowing dialogue that's kind of swirling around the climax of the film in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, it strikes me as that. I really like films that occur in like one interior too, just like one place, one room, one apartment, you know, for a prolonged amount of time. I really get into that if the writing's good and the performances are good. And I think that's the case with both of these. But yeah,
totally. This is one, feel exactly the same way.
Yeah, this is one Noah Baumbach film that I had that I appreciate you recommending it because it had slipped past me. I think I've seen most all of his films, but I hadn't seen this one, and I really enjoyed it last night. I thought it was just great.
Yeah, I mean, unpopular opinion, I think it's much better than Marriage Story.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I don't know if it was because of how well that was received. That's not one of my favorite films from him, for a variety of reasons, and we don't have to go down that rabbit hole. But yeah, I kind of like this period, this period of his work is speaks to me a little bit more. And also just a really, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's some connectivity that I see in your picks with moving on into Junebug is, you know, the Amy Adams character in Junebug is just really funny and eccentric and just kind of wears her emotions on her sleeve. There feels like there's some connectivity between her character and Greta Gerwig's character in Mistress America. Is that part of the pairing for you?
I'm glad you point that out. So part of the pairing, I think, really for me, though, is that it's like Mistress America is like very, you're in the city, you're on the go. And then Junebug is like slowed down and like you're in the country. And to me, it kind of puts you, like if you do it like back to back, it puts you right into the mood and the shoes of the protagonist of Junebug, Madeline. And, you know, she's a big city hustler, you know, art girl. And then she gets, you know, thrown into like this weird, super slow paced country town, you know, which also I really like relate to the protagonist. But also Amy Adams' character is to me kind of like what could is to me kind of like would be the girl that Greta Gerwig is if she had the chance to move out the country.
Have you met her? She been?
How could I have met her, Ashley? Use your head.
I think they're here.
They're here! They're here! I want to know everything there is to know about you. I want you to tell us every little thing.
God, that would be so boring.
Not to me. Were you born in Chicago? I was born right here, lived here my whole life. My favorite animal is the meerkat. Did you ever try out for cheerleading or anything? I tried out, but I didn't make it.
I was born in Japan.
You were not.
You know what I mean?
Right, sure. I think, too, the sort of fish-out-of-water scenario also plays in reverse a bit. It's sort of like Mistress America is this 18-year-old freshman moving to New York City for the first time, very much fish-out-of-water. Junebug is... And I saw Junebug in the theater when this came out, and this is... God, is this 17 years ago or something crazy like that? But so the details are a little blurry for me, but basically... The woman who steps into the small town, steps into this family, it's her fiancé's family, right? She basically goes to spend time with her fiancé's family, who's a smaller town, kind of like never left that city.
Yeah. So basically it's the protagonist, Madeline, she goes, she gets like into this like relationship with like this guy that she meets at one of like her art galleries. She's like an art buyer, like whatever. And, you know, they hit it off and then get, like, engaged, like, really, really fast. And then you're mm-hmm. automatically just, like, thrown into her going to this small town because not only, you know, she's, like, this big working kind of, like, girl. And I think realistically she wouldn't want to have gone to that town realistically unless she absolutely had to. But I guess kind of, like, the main reason why she went is because she was also courting another artist to buy art from. Who's also in the town and like, you know, knew her fiance's family and like everything. And so it's kind of just like her balancing her work, but like also trying to like, you know, charm the family, but the family kind of like sees through her a little bit. And it's just like, you're just here to work. Like, do you actually care? You know?
Right. Yeah. It's a wonderful dynamic and it's a really good ensemble cast. I also love, Scott Wilson, who's the father. I love him in everything I see him in. He's such a mm-hmm. great character actor. I really like him. And Amy Adams was fantastic in this and was really enamored with her, right? Am I remembering that correctly? Like she was just completely enamored from the fact that this woman is from like a larger city and is in the art world and, you know, just someone from a small town who's never left. And is she pregnant in the film? Am I remembering that right too, Amy Adams?
Yeah. Yeah, and she's, like, pregnant and, like, and it's, like, and it's almost kind of, like, sad because you kind of, like, what's so charming about her character is that she's kind of just, like, very lively, vivacious person as, like, kind of a way to, like, distract herself from kind of, like, the slowness of her surroundings because she's just such naturally a more of, like, hyped person, whereas, like, the guy that she had been with, her baby's father, it's not so much the same and it's kind of like it's kind of sad to like watch that dynamic because you kind of know that they're really only together because it's a small town and it's like all they have. And like, you know that she wants more, but she can't really see more from herself except for like in a, you know, daydreaming sense, you know. It's really kind of like sad too about her character, which is like, it's just so good.
Yeah, she's sort of resigned to the fact that her lot in life is to sort of be this mother and stay in this small town, even though she's incredibly enamored with the outside world, you know, and like wants to live vicariously through, you know, through this new woman who's arrived in town, which is it is heartbreaking. And there's a sweetness about her that's really.
But also, like, yes, she is. She really kind of can't see more out of being a mother, but like also she's like super excited to be a mother because that's just like yet another thing for her to do at the same time, you know what I mean? Which is like also like just right. Really cute. And like I just love her character.
I do too. And it was I feel like it was one of the first things that I ever saw her in, actually, and thinking back and thinking like that was kind of a pivotal role for her in her career at that time, because she was so good and I think got a lot of attention from that particular role, from that film.
And it's a really, 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 really low budget film, but so well made. And like, I love that. I love anything that's like super low budget, but like well made. And Yola Tingo did the music, which is really cool. So,
yeah. And again, a lot of interiors, a lot of just like really good conversation and dialogue inside of a house, you know, not a lot of kind of fancy on location shooting or anything. It's just very much about the writing, I think, this film a lot, and about the connectivity between the characters and how they kind of evolve and grow during the film. Yeah, both films are kind of like that. And that's kind of right in my personal wheelhouse of favorites, kind of, you know, things to watch. Just really good writing, really good character development. You know, could be shot in a kitchen, doesn't really matter if everyone's like super interesting and compelling.
Yeah, and also it's really, I have first watched this movie a little bit before I had did a cross-country trip last summer, where I hopped into a Prius with two of my friends and we just like drove across the country. It was kind of psychotic, but also a good experience. And the first stop we had was in North Carolina, in kind of like in the outskirts, much like this film. And Richmond is Virginia, right? Where's North Carolina? I know I play North Carolina, but like a bigger city. But I'd never been kind of like in outskirts. And time really is different there. Like, and I really felt like I was like a Jude bug. Like, I was like, oh, this is real. Like, this is how the other half live. Like, people here are just like being, which is also kind of like cool too. Like, I felt really at peace as well, especially surrounded by like all the trees and the nature and like everything. But like, I kind of maybe thought that it was like slightly exaggerated for the film, but actually being in that environment, I realized that it kind of wasn't.
Right. Right. Yeah. I grew up in Ohio, so I kind of understand what it is that you're referring to. For sure. Yeah. And no, I mean I didn't find anyone in Junebug to feel exaggerated to me. I felt that family seemed pretty authentic to, you know, the kind of like, you know, personalities and values that kind of a smaller town America holds, and how they perceive sort of the other side and how the other side perceives them. It's a really interesting, you know, dichotomy when you line up people in the exact same country. Do you have any aspirations to get behind the camera for anything?
Completely. I think I'm kind of like at a point in my life when it comes to film that's like where I'm like, I finally, especially mostly because of quarantine, which is so funny because like I had just bought my first camera that I used for this music video back in October, right before, you know, I even knew there was going to be a pandemic. And And yeah, this pandemic kind of forced me to like really kind of hone in on like what I want. I know I spent a really long time the research for the camera and the lenses that I wanted and like everything, and was like very happy with that. And like finally to get the product that I wanted to see out of it was like really great and like reinvigorated something in me. So now since I have like more time to do it, yeah, I think I'm kind of just like working on my craft and like getting back to it, because, you know, music took over my life. And like I knew I always had, you know, film as like a passion, something that I eventually want to do. I just didn't know when, because, you know, music was just taking over. And like, yes, it looks like it's probably going to be taking over again now, but like still this year is a little bit slower than other things. And I still have a little bit more time to kind of like do other things, because I also like to write too and like everything. But I always thought before this, before I got my camera, that my love kind of like really lied in writing more, just because, you know, I'm a songwriter. I recently had a TV column where I write about TV and movies. And I just always thought that I would naturally go into screenwriting first and then maybe work my way into directing and cinematography. But like once I got my camera, I was just like, yes, this, I love this. This is what I want. I love editing. I love color correcting. I love doing all of that. So yeah, I'm really excited to just kind of just make little visual shorts and then start to think about the writing side of things and directing side of things.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's very serendipitous that you got the camera right on the precipice of this whole situation. It's a good thing to have, you know, while you're kind of locked away, that you can at least experiment with and do more things with. That's really exciting.
Totally. Yeah. It's really cool. And I love it.
Cool. Well, thank you again for being on and for this recommendation. I really like these a lot. I really enjoyed watching Mistress America last night. Like I said, that one slipped by me for some reason, and I was really happy to have it put back on my radar and watch it. I think these two go together in a really, really wonderful way and have some powerhouse lead performances by Greta Gerwig and Amy Adams, both in some pretty eccentric, you know, character roles that are really compelling. Well, Shamir, thank you very much. It was really, really nice to talk with you and to meet you. I'm a big fan of your work. I wish you the best of luck on the new record, and I will be listening and also keeping an eye out for any, video or film endeavors that you pursue in the future as well. So thanks so much for being on. I really appreciate it.
Totally. Thank you so much.
You got it. Have a great rest of the day, and take care and stay well and healthy, and good luck.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. So that's the show. I want to once again thank Shamir for being on the program. That was a really great talk, and I wish him all the best with the new recording and the album that's coming out later this year. Once again, his recommendations were Mistress America and Junebug. So go check out those films if you haven't already seen them. If you want to connect with Shamir online, check out his website, shamir326.com. For links to all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, music samples, and news. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at Contiki Podcast and rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. We also just joined Facebook, so if you are a Facebook person, check us out, /Contiki Podcast there as well. Join us again next week, where we'll have an all-new double feature pairing from another one of your favorite artists. Be kind to one another out there. We'll see you soon.